Okay, we're recording the Ninja Consultant Christmas episode.
Christmas time is here.
You said you were going to sing the Mokuna thing.
Happiness and cheer.
Oh, we have a special guest.
The time that all the children
all right.
Their favorite time of year.
A little flat there. I'm not editing this that much. Because
Mokuna,
I'm gonna,
poo.
There you go. That's for all you Clamp fans. I'm not editing this that much so we can get up tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
So we have a special guest, and that is my mom. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Ben's mom.
I'm totally stealing the greatest movie ever. Paul the Gooberzilla has his mom on the show quite often, where they'll watch a movie and he'll have his mom talk about it too. The most amusing episode of which was a contest he had to get people to make his mom watch Akira, which she watched, and it was pretty funny.
You've never seen Akira, have you?
And was that...
I rented
Does
it once.
Does he have, like, all the white hair that flies?
Well,
quite big.
It's
no,
about two...
that's Yugi somebody.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yu-Gi-Oh! Does Yu-Gi-Oh ever have white hair?
No, but Sesshomaru has white hair from Inuyasha.
Inuyasha, yes.
Yes, but...
That's not Akira.
So, we'd like my mom to talk about what anime...
Are there bets on me watching the...
Huh?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay.
No,
nothing,
no.
Nothing like
there could
no
be
bets.
Because there, that's not much of a contest. Because if I was like, hey, mom, you're watching Akira, you'd be like, okay. And you're like, my, this is violent.
Yeah, give us
like, then we're going to take a little nap.
Right, and then you probably fall asleep in the middle and wake up, and it wouldn't make sense. But, exactly. You know, it still doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. Even if you were awake, it wouldn't make sense. Paul ended up stopping the movie a bunch of times and explaining to his mother what was going on. But Paul the Avenger, if, you know, seeing it many times, perhaps reading the comic.
And it's not the most accessible film.
No, when I rented it, I didn't know anything about anime, so I was like, what's going on? What's wrong with these characters? When is this going to be over? Because it seems to go on for a long time. The structure is weird. I couldn't really make a lot of sense of it until no one explained it, but I hadn't read the comic. We want to talk to you a little bit about your experience with anime, and last Christmas, you had the unfortunate thing where we gave Noah a Berserk box set for Christmas. Noah and I were mostly done watching the series because
it was 2 years ago.
We were renting
it.
Wasn't it last year? I think it was last year.
We were still living in Harlem when we started watching that series.
When we started?
Yeah.
Oh, what did we do last Christmas? We watched Avatar.
Yeah.
Avatar. It all makes sense now. So, unfortunately, my mom got to watch the last disc of Berserk.
Yeah.
A lot of demon
rape.
I don't
know where they got the name.
Yeah.
It was Berserk.
It was a bit berserk, was it not?
What do you know about berserkers?
Nothing.
Nothing, all right. but, okay, so just now we watched episode 40 and 41, a two-part episode of Naruto, the 40th episode of Shippuden, not the regular series, in which, hello spoilers, Orochimaru comes back and they're having a fight with Naruto on the bridge. What did you think of the episode? We're doing like an Anime Pulse homage, reviewing an episode of Naruto. They haven't reviewed Naruto in a long time. They've only been reviewing Bleach.
What did you make of it?
Okay. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, before when we watched the blonde-headed one, that's Naruto, right?
Yes.
Okay, I liked him before. He was having fun with his little gang and they were fighting people. But tonight, oh my God, it just wouldn't speed up at all.
Even
how do you mean?
I didn't like that. Well, I'm thinking that it's like a soap opera now that I could watch 5 episodes later and they would still be
fighting
the same.
That's accurate.
Guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we were watching it more around the exam arc before.
Mm.
Oh yeah, even .bio, the fan subbers, they put at the beginning of their little hidden blurb, they said that this was the fewest lines of dialogue for any anime episode they'd ever subtitled ever, and they subtitled a lot of stuff, so even they were like, yeah, this episode kind of light on the dialogue.
I think it was one line of dialogue per 10 seconds, 1032 or so of video.
Yeah,
so extremely slow, and a two-parter, which made it go even slower.
But ironically, I had trouble getting through the subtitles before they cut away. So I missed little bits.
Oh, yeah? You can read it fast enough? Oh, there was also a lot of terminology in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might not be easy to understand if
you're
not really...
Yeah, if you didn't really watch it. So then, perhaps for contrast, we watched the latest episode of Avatar.
No, I like that one. The blonde-headed, blonde-headed kid, losing it for me. But the bald-headed kid, I like him.
Yeah, last Christmas, I think we spent marathoning most of season one and season two of Avatar.
And I stayed awake for most of it.
Right.
Just want to point that out.
Well, it's also in English. It holds one's interest.
Yeah.
The dialogue is witty, and lots of it, instead of, one line for 10 seconds of animation.
Yes.
And there's a lot more actual animation, even though both shows are done in Korea at this point.
And not Berserk. I tried to go to sleep during Berserk to spare myself.
That would have been the right thing to do.
Yeah. You had the right idea.
Yes.
Didn't work. Didn't work. So you can't, now you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
I can poke my mind's eye out.
Can you? Can you?
I will try.
Your third eye.
The bald-headed one.
Yeah.
So you used to watch a lot of Power Rangers back in the day.
I like Power Rangers, yes.
But I was too old to really watch it, but perhaps not old enough to watch it in an ironic way.
You mocked it, and you would tease me and just look in disgust and leave for school.
Yeah, because Mom was watching it like in the morning before school, and she'd be like, oh, they're transforming. That means it's 7:55. You kids got to get out there and catch the bus.
That's right. It was right on target. Very formulaic.
You said it was like Love Boat. That Love Boat, the couples break up or get back
always
together.
Always knew what was going on.
At
yes,
exactly
by the
right.
time.
8:45.
20 after... 20 till...
Setting the clocks by.
Yes. Do you like that?
Yes.
Do you appreciate...
little structure?
Yeah, formulaic, well, to that extent.
Sometimes. I mean, in an unformulaic day, it can be sort of a relief to have a little structure going for you.
Mm.
So you know what's going on.
But, I don't think, have we talked much about Avatar on the podcast?
No, I don't think
really
we've mentioned it more than once or twice.
Yeah, the first four episodes have still kind of Nickelodeon slime moments, but after that it's worth your time, and it's for younger kids can watch it, older people can watch it, adults can watch it.
It's certainly the best American cartoon on television right now.
Yeah.
Possibly the best American cartoon ever.
Oh, yeah.
It's in its third season.
Like TV animation, not feature films.
Right, not feature films. But as far as what gets aired on television, it's in its third season now, and it is coming to an end.
The first two seasons are available on DVD. And it's coming to an end. They're going to do a four-part movie. So it'll be like almost like a 2-hour or like a 90-minute movie to end the show. And the creators said at San Diego Comic-Con they might not be done with the Avatar universe, even if they finish off this kind of plot line, that they might keep that setting and maybe have other stories in it. But
we've got good characters.
Yeah.
I mean, they've
got
the big story thread that goes through it with the fire people.
Yeah.
And all the underlying relationships. And then the action of the day.
Yeah,
whatever's
so you can sit down and watch an episode, even if you're not totally well-versed with the show, and you might not get everything, but you won't feel as lost as, like, if you sit down and watch any episode of Naruto, it's like, what's going on?
Right.
But Avatar still, it maintains the long story format, but keeps it so there are plot points that happen within an episode, and it's not a single plot point, like, Naruto discovers something, no, they reveal something about the coach's DNA, which is not interesting to perhaps non-viewers or innocent
and there is an enormous depth of character in Avatar that is lacking in, I'd say, even some of the best Japanese animation.
Yeah. And strong female characters. In the last episode, in the episode of Naruto we just watched, Sakura is knocked unconscious almost immediately, even though she's been training for episodes and episodes to finally be a powerful character with a punch that can actually do some damage, unlike how she was when she was a kid at the beginning of the show. But what happens as soon as they're faced with a big bad guy? Knocked unconscious.
Yeah.
And all the guys have to save her.
And
the other guy was supposed to.
Spoilers.
Everyone knows that guy is evil. Like,
sorry,
he bailed.
He's not evil.
And
when Naruto
de-transforms from his wolf form, he'll be like, oh no, Sakura got hurt because my horrible, being unable to control my other side. Now I'm going to have to train so I can control the Nine-Tailed Fox.
And even in the last story arc, Sakura almost got her day in the sun, but she received an enormous amount of help, support from an older character.
Yeah, there was an older woman using her as marionette.
Yeah.
Even though she had a lot of really strong fight skills, it took a more experienced character to walk her through the fight with, like, chakra strings.
Her hair is pink.
Her hair is indeed pink.
I can't say anything more.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's all stereotypical.
But Avatar, I would even forget that there are strong female characters simply because the characters are so well-rounded.
They're just strong
characters. One forgets that they are strong female characters. They are simply female characters.
What? I have a question.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. So Noah said that it's the best American cartoon ever?
It might
be. TV cartoon.
It might be.
TV cartoon, like, for a particular genre? Are you saying this is comparable to other
I think it's
things?
It's certainly, well, what do you mean? Is it comparable to what? Because
what are Simpsons? Some of your favorite? Oh, yeah, there's like The Simpsons, or The Simpsons at its best didn't have.
I see. That's tough.
Yeah,
you're right. It's very difficult to compare.
Yeah, because with something like The Simpsons, like, the animation quality isn't necessarily a huge part of it. Like, it does change a lot from season to season. Until season three or so, when they finally get, like, the rough draft animation doing the work, the quality of the picture doesn't really gel together. In, like, some season two episodes or some early Simpsons episodes, like, the pupils are too large, characters are drawn off model in weird or strange animation mistakes, and the quality of the writing is only good for, like, those three or four seasons, like, season three to six, and there's still some quality episodes here and there in earlier seasons and later seasons, but then it kind of just peters out after a long time. Whereas, you know, with Avatar, since there's an ending, it will end and it will be quality all the way through. So the percentage of good Avatar episodes as a ratio to the overall show
is
will
already,
be much higher.
Yes,
so
they're is already for, certainly much higher.
Yeah, they're following through the arc, following through the story.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons I think that Avatar is as high quality as it is that it...
They're writing towards an ending.
...will come to a preconceived end.
They're not just milking a franchise till it dies.
Although this has caused Nickelodeon a great deal of trouble because they're finding there are calls for them to reproduce their success and... with another series of this type, and it's really extremely difficult.
It's very expensive.
Do you think they do backstories? Like, go back and...
Well, they may...
Avatar or the...
Yeah, there may be spin-off series.
People.
But that's not quite what I mean. I mean...
I'm talking prequels.
Sure, but so you now have potentially a franchise in the Avatar universe, and that might continue to do very well for them, but... Another series.
What? What's so funny?
I'm imagining little action toys.
Well, they exist.
They have squirt wire. Yeah. Throw fire. The fire one might be problematic.
They kind of throw a little transparent disc.
Balls of fire.
No, it's a little like transparent disc that kind of spins in the air that represent the elements. They're kind of lame, but the plushies
little
of
rocks.
The...
That'll be a good
buff-
one.
No.
Yeah?
They don't... I don't think that's really what they have.
Come with all kinds of warnings.
What, you can't get a tough action figure?
I don't know.
Of course
I haven't really checked. I've never
I'm
seen
sure
one.
You can.
Allison doesn't have one.
Well, that's because she has no love for Toph.
Zuko and Aang.
Flying stuffed guy with the
same Yeah, they have. There are those, and people wear him on their head around
Appa.
Anime conventions and
Not
other conventions.
Abba.
Not Abba. Abba is something else.
Okay. Abba
is also something else. It's Appa.
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 The white creature.
Yes. The white
the fluffy
flying buffalo.
Animal.
Yeah.
Flying
mom,
buffalo.
Mom picked
I
up
like
I have a plushie of the cat bus from Totoro, like a small one. She's like, oh, is this that thing from Avatar? I mean, that's what she was thinking of. We're like, no, the thing from Avatar is like an homage. They're both flying creatures with extra legs that carry people.
Carry children.
They carry
children.
Everyone
they're
should
fluffy.
Have one.
Yeah, they're great.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Everyone should have one.
I have a question. Which is unrelated to Avatar, but what do you make of your daughter's obsession with all of this?
Saw it coming a long time ago.
Yeah?
Yes.
How was that?
Oh, lots of cartoons and sketching and analyzing and ripping those stories apart.
Like what?
I don't know. You just always had a big, keen interest in animation. The anime genre, though...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that.
Well, you know, it's
because you're so more Simpsons oriented, more American cartoon oriented.
Yeah, because that's what was available until like Sailor Moon started airing, and then I got really obsessed with it. But I mean, anime is not a single genre. There's like, you know, sci-fi anime and food and anime.
Sure.
As food, anime. The Iron Walk one that you're reading.
Well, yeah, right, the manga.
But that's manga. But there's like Yakitake Japan is only about cooking bread. It's about bread baking competitions. Sure. But it is that kind of Iron Chef thing. It's more
but
of a straight
comedy.
But
you had this whole She-Ra thing, too.
Well, everyone was obsessed with She-Ra.
Not me.
So or He-Man, sort of like or He-Man.
Yeah, okay.
She-Ra is sort of American Sailor Moon-ish.
Yeah, that's true.
But Sailor Moon is not a ripoff of a boy.
You just made that up. No, She-Ra, I think.
She's not a ripoff, but She-Ra's a ripoff of He-Man.
Shoujo.
Sailor Moon's not a ripoff of a male counterpart. It's like the
ultimate. Oh, yeah, that's certainly
the ultimate girly thing, as opposed to like just like this is the female equivalent of another franchise.
I don't know if Sailor Moon is the apotheosis of girl power.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, not of girl power, but of like weird, frilly, feminine stuff.
Well, that's more what I meant.
It's like
not,
a girl fantasy.
Not girl power like Powerpuff Girls.
No, but like girl fantasy.
Girl fantasy maybe.
Yeah.
Because something like Magical Princess Minky Momo is is the apotheosis of frilly, I think.
Why is she frillier than Sailor Moon?
You don't think that the design...
I don't even know what she looks like.
No, really?
I could Google it right now. Was that one of the things on Ed's panel at AWA?
Yeah, it was, but it's also in Otaku no Video, the character that they come up with is essentially Magical Princess Minky Momo. So when you see... Oh,
is it Minky or Mickey?
I think it's Minky.
I think you've gotten this wrong before.
It's possible. I think it
Sailor
might be.
Moon always seemed kind of wimpy.
See?
I mean, she just sort of heard... She got into...
She is really
problems.
Wimpy.
She cried. She melted.
Well,
her friends were around her. And then the guy with the tuxedo came in and threw roses at her.
And saved the day. Well, her friends were probably more powerful than she was. But she had the overflowing love, which is extraordinarily important in anime.
I thought
it was,
she had the magical background.
Well, what happened,
she had the magical tears.
Magical yeah, what tears. Happened with Sailor Moon is like she would be total wuss all the time, total airhead, and then finally at like the season finale when all of her friends have gone down in the fight, her friends who are much better fighters than hers, then her overwhelming love, and she would start crying because of the horrible tragedy, basically her friends are dead, her magical tears and her love for everyone would bring everyone back. So she would be only tough at the very, you know, last hour, where the last possible moment.
Which just is the case with Naruto. Naruto, his power is not giving up. His
I don't
power
know.
Is
yeah.
Like
where
he
she's like,
given
I
won't.
Well,
he
did. You're absolutely right.
Spoilers.
He is in a bit of a pickle at the moment. He's not in a good way.
So far, I've not seen what Magical Princess Minky Momo transforms into. She's just wearing like a red skirt, and she has pink hair, and she has a yellow ribbon.
So should the heroes then, the female heroes, is it more meaningful if they are consciously making the choice or they accidentally discover some kind of destiny? Like, didn't Sailor Moon have this whole thing with the cat that sort of kept tabs on her and the moon power or something?
As far as that goes, I think Shonen Heroes, it's all about hard work. Shoujo Magical Girl, it's always about, you discover your powers. I'm trying to think, and I'm certainly not an expert on Magical Girl stuff.
Well, I think for both of them, it's like this power of friendship thing.
Yeah.
And in Shonen, like, they have to defeat their friend they defeat their rival who becomes, like, their best friend.
Right.
And then they're always fighting for their friends. And with the girl shows, they're always also fighting for their friends. Like,
his anime and the sort of development of heroes and different genders.
Is that her magical
outfit?
That's not very girly.
Yeah.
Did it start out as all sort of male characters and female characters in the background, like the Naruto girl?
What happened was, and it took us a long time to figure this out, but everything is adapted from manga. And I think I was telling you earlier on the train how children's magazines veered off in Japan in a direction where instead of having one magazine for both genders of kids, a lot of kids' magazines split off, and there were magazines just for girls and just for boys. So the kinds of titles that would run in either one were very gender-oriented.
So you have two very distinct
segregated
traditions.
Genders. Yeah. So you wouldn't make
those parallels.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have She-Ra because you wouldn't base it on a successful He-Man franchise. It would be like in each magazine there might be
it's actually
different
a,
titles.
A good question. Is there any kind of Magical Girl spin-off of a shonen series? I mean, I don't know the answer. I've never heard of that ever happening.
No, neither have I. I've only seen, like, I don't know, like, the chick from Dr. Slump makes an appearance in an episode of Dragon Ball, but there are two works by the same author that follow chronologically. It's not really
The same thing. Yeah, Dragon Ball.
It's proved that she's really tough because she's a robot. And everyone, like, the episode of Dragon Ball she appears in when I saw it was, like, really weird because I didn't know, I wasn't familiar with the character, but she just seemed, like, ridiculously overpowered for that show, and I couldn't figure out what was her deal. And she was around for a couple episodes and she kind of left. And it was just because it was, like, a crossover episode.
I wondered about that because, like, with other female characters in America media, American film or whatever, I think that the female characters used to be more secondary. The men were the heroes. The men were the leaders.
Yeah.
And the men were the ones with the power. And then as female characters sort of entered in, they were first very flat, very stereotypical, very, like, girl with a golden heart sort of thing.
Can you give some examples?
No.
Oh.
Because it's after midnight, I'm thinking.
Right. Well, that's the right time to record. That's
the right time to
record. But I think, well, part of the
problem. Then they emerged into having more full dimensions. So we were talking about, like, Cagney and Lacey as one of the early series. That were the women actually had fuller characters that were developed.
Right. And part of the reason for that, I think, is because early television is all written by guys. And they didn't know how to write female characters, and now there's more of a demand for more realistic female characters, and there are more female, like, television writers, not many, but more, more than zero. And when it comes to adapting anime from manga, eventually, at first, only men were, or, like, mostly men were manga writers, and they were forced to write in girls' magazines. So there are a few titles of early shoujo that we've found out about, and not having actually read them, where it would be about a girl protagonist who has some magic power or something, but for some reason, most of the series is spent where she's hanging out with guys in a baseball lot.
Or, like, they play a lot of baseball.
She stops a Yakuza crime, like, happens to in some episode, and it really doesn't fit into the story, and you just know that that author desperately wanted to write for guys' stories and not really draw magic girls.
Didn't really have a choice.
So then eventually there was a turning point in the 70s where more female manga authors started... I know, I have a booger. Stop that. Okay. Eventually there was a turning point in the 70s where female manga authors started to write for women, and the stories drastically changed, and men weren't really funneled into those kind of positions as much anymore, so women were writing for women, so that kind of takes a divergent path, whereas you don't really get shows here that are based on comics written for girls by girls, so you get a kind of different gender thing. I also think the sexual revolution in Japan is extremely different than it is in America. We don't really have a women's right, a women's lib thing in the 70s. So women were given the right to vote in Japan when Americans, like, wrote their constitution, that kind
I
of thing.
Think actually,
but it was suddenly like, in,
I think there was a women's lib movement,
but it was like
in
a
Japan,
scale.
But it was much smaller.
It was way smaller. And people will say that even in anime and in drama, they'll be like, oh, you know, women's lib or whatever, and it's not the same kind of, it doesn't have the same connotation. It doesn't have the same weight.
So when you were talking about the emergence of boy magazines and girl magazines. The girl magazines, though, were written by guys.
For a little while.
Yeah, for a while.
For, like, a few years. Until they got more female authors started. Who were mentored by guys. By Tezuka.
That's all there was. I mean,
yeah, because that's all there was. Like, Tezuka started it, and then there were a few women who worked under him who learned his style and how to draw manga like that, and they became, like, you know, the godmother of manga and that kind of thing.
So then it takes on a different flavor?
Yeah. Then you get the weird boys' love stories.
Well, that's not really until the 80s, though.
Yeah. Well, no, late 70s.
Late 70s.
Because you get the wind in the trees. And that kind of
thing. Aaron's becoming an expert on yaoi.
I have to.
For her job.
In battle. No, I'm just kidding.
What's yaoi?
It is the gay porn I was telling you
about. Yeah, we don't necessarily have to go into that. God. Although that would be... Well, since we have you here...
Here we go.
To get as much on tape as possible.
Well, perhaps for only another 5 minutes.
Well, perhaps only another 5 minutes. But were you exposed at all to anime before Aaron got into it?
No.
Did you know anything about it?
I think Sailor
She's mostly
Moon.
Exposed to, like, tokusatsu. Like, she watched a lot of... Did you watch Speed Racer?
I had trouble with Speed Racer.
She did watch it?
I mean, Chuck really watched... My brother watched it more than me because it was more when he was growing up.
Yeah.
But some of the... It bothered me. The filming bothered me.
Oh, okay.
Because it would be sort of a blur, and there'd be a frame with the guy, and then another blur and another frame, and it was like a lot of the shots seemed to be the same frame, but maybe there's a different mountain in the background or different.
Yeah.
So that was just irritating. And you come from the Rocky and Bullwinkle heritage of fine comics, fine artwork, and great storylines.
What about Astro Boy? Did you ever see Astro Boy?
No.
Okay.
Don't remember Astro Boy. We didn't get it on ABC, so anything in ABC didn't really watch.
Yeah, a lot of it depended on local stations and what local stations were playing. Like, some stations across the country would play random ass, like, they would play Star Blazers, and others wouldn't. So it depended, like, did you get that station that played that show? Like, it's very a strange kind of scattering of anime. Right. But you watched a lot of Tokusatsu, like, you were a huge Godzilla fan.
Oh, yes, I love Godzilla. What's, but that comes, Channel 50 ran Godzilla movies.
Exactly. So it's like, one affiliate station, some guy at Channel 50 was like a Godzilla fan who was like, let's show a lot of Godzilla.
It was great. Godzilla, and there was another one, like something. I can't remember the name of it, but it was
it was Ultraman? What did he do?
Ultraman.
Because our listeners will tell us.
Yeah, that would be good, because I've been trying to think of the name of this, but there was a little rocket ship. You could almost see the wires sometimes, and he had a costume he wore. I really can't remember. It was Star something was in the title,
okay.
And it was like a series of it.
What did he do? Like, what was his power?
Rescue, save the universe, rescue the Earth.
You don't know what
fend
his costume
off the Martians.
Can you think
of a helmet? And it seems like there was a lightning bolt or something.
That sounds like Ultraman to me.
Did he transform from being really really small to like a huge guy? No.
Oh. Well, then maybe not.
He was just like a regular.
Do you remember any of the monsters he fought particularly well? If you can remember one of the villains.
Or like, did he fight monsters, or were they aliens, or what?
I just remember that the spaceship a lot. Just. Sailing around in the spaceship, but I don't remember much else.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry.
People will probably write in with it.
Well, yeah, we'll have someone get on that.
We want to know, the other podcasters are all going to want to know, like, what are your favorite Godzilla movies?
The Godzilla movies?
Yeah.
Ghidorah, ones with Ghidorah. The ones with Mothra.
Okay.
And the little singing girls.
The twins.
Yeah, that's how
one. Yes, I like that. Big no on the American versions of Godzilla.
Right.
It's not the same thing if it's not Toho.
Right.
With the little guy with the funny suit. Mega Godzilla, I didn't like Mega Godzilla that much.
Mecha or Mega?
The mechanical.
Mecha Godzilla.
Mecha. But the Ghidorah, what was the turtle one?
Oh, Gamera.
Gamera, yeah.
Do you like ones with just Gamera?
Yes. When they get too ganged up on poor Godzilla. I feel bad about that, but I feel worse that the Tokyo people are all like, oh, anti-Godzilla, build big defenses, and then they get their butts kicked by other monsters, and it's all like, come save us, Godzilla.
Ungrateful.
As soon as he rips their butts, bam, they're back to chasing him away.
What do you think of Baby Godzilla?
Baby Godzilla creeps me out.
Oh, I think he's adorable.
And the little boy that hangs out with him creeps me out more. Little tiny, tiny shorts. It's just wrong.
Oh, the short shorts.
Short shorts,
I don't really know what's up with that.
Not only is it wrong, it's required by gym classes everywhere.
Oh, that's for girls.
Yeah, for girls.
For girls, it's the, like, it's like what cheerleaders wear under their skirts. Those kind of elastic-y underwear things. They make they make girls wear that at gym class. In Japan, even now. I think the chafing would be a problem. Having worn very short shorts for cross-country, I can tell you, the chafing is a problem.
It's okay. But no, the Godzilla movies are good. The Godzilla movies were a lot of fun. And again, sort of that formulaic stuff with the token American that doesn't know what he's doing.
Accurate.
Very accurate, very accurate. The poor ships, the poor army guys trying to shoot Godzilla will do no good.
Why do you think they keep trying?
You have to try.
Yeah, you got to try. Actually, that's the just like Naruto. You got to keep getting up.
Got to keep getting
even
up,
even when it doesn't make any
fighting
difference.
Back. But I thought it was kind of interesting the whole idea of Godzilla and radiation and what Japan must have been dealing with after a defeated in war, having the nuclear weapons dropped on them, and then just kind of trying to come back from that. So, kind of a they're battling their own demons with dealing with Godzilla.
Yeah, I've heard your lectures on it much times.
Yes. But what are they up to, like 54?
Godzilla films?
Were they making one a year?
I don't know.
I forget.
It was to the 50th.
We saw the most recent Gamera movie.
It was Gamera 2006. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was a little weird. At first when Gamera's baby, sometimes he's CG, and then when he starts to get older, then he's like a puppet. And then when he gets very large, he's the suit. But at certain intermediate stages, they use some CG. But I don't know.
I wonder what CG will do to it. Like if they start doing Godzilla with computer techniques instead of the guy in the suit.
Yeah, like in the American one where they had the all CG Godzilla.
Oh, that was.
See, they took the character out of it.
Mm.
Yes. It was no good. There was no life. There was no soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they use it in the Gamera film we saw. I think they mostly used CG for big glowing techniques or for buildings exploding or that kind of thing, and not so much for the actual Gamera animation, unless it was, you know, very small Gamera or if Gamera's flying maybe in those shots. Gamera, although it was really obvious.
I need to catch up with that.
Gamera does love the children, however. Behind. He loves all the little children.
That was the big point. The children?
No, he
seemed to have some kind of a boy, a little boy finds an egg that Gamera apparently died in the 70s on this island, and his dad saw Gamera's last battle, where Gamera died in battle. And the little boy, one day, he sees a light on the tiny island where Gamera died offshore, because it's summer vacation and his mom is dead or whatever. He goes to find the glowing light on the island, and he finds an egg, and the egg is a baby Gamera, which he raises secretly in his room, and there are hijinks. But then eventually Gamera is too large to hide. And then other monsters know...
One other monster.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. There was only one other monster.
That's right. Yeah.
It feels kind of a ripoff.
It was kind of a ripoff. And it wasn't a great
too
monster.
Many monsters, then it's just tossing
but
monsters.
Another,
in.
So, but only one? So only this one other monster out to sea feels that Gamera is alive and starts attacking this boy's town. So what was a funny children's film up to that point... Now the town's being destroyed, people are going to shelters, one kid is horribly injured, people are dead,
crying
everywhere. Yeah, so then Gamera appears to have a low-level psychic influence over children, and that several children who don't know each other are compelled to take the pieces of Gamera's egg, which will lend him more power, from one child to the next in a chain of children running against the crowd of people running the other way.
In a scene that truly brought tears to my eyes. Yeah. I didn't love the whole film, but that really pulled my heartstrings.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good to watch. Yeah,
the children save all of Japan.
It was fun. It was fun to watch. But when you start thinking about it, you're like, so is Gamera hypnotic? Is he controlling their minds?
They do it.
That's kind of creepy.
They do it for Gamera, but then Gamera does it for the children. He's doing it for the shorties.
See. That's a good thing. Very good thing.
The spirit of Christmas.
It is a spirit of Christmas. I have a question for your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do they consider Godzilla as science fiction? Or is it another thing?
Tokusatsu.
Interesting question.
It is.
Sure.
A little debate.
I'm sure they will write in.
They need to write in?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure it's a heavy writing in show.
No, it should. In the beginning, there was more writing in. Frankly, yes, this is a message to our listeners that... I make this show mostly to get email from people, so please email with your opinions based on the show. Even if it's completely inane, it totally makes my day to get an email where someone's like, I listen to your episode, you dopes don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Even those kind of emails,
Aaron
I really
for that.
Appreciate. I look forward to that.
On the other hand, think it's a pain when people write, so Aaron answers all the mail.
The survey question is important, though. It's a point of contention.
Oh, okay, I'll make it
a
live
poll. A friend of mine and I are arguing about, is it science fiction or not?
Well, what's the supporting argument? What's the argument against?
Against it? Well,
yeah.
I don't know, I think it is science fiction.
There are always
fiction,
a few scientists.
There's a scientist. It's
there's always
based
like a scientific
in a radioactive
well,
sort of
I think I've talked about it before on the show, but the theory, as I understand it, the difference between science fiction and horror is that in a horror movie, the scientists are wrong and the military is right. And in a science fiction film, the military is wrong and the scientists are right. So, I don't know. I think in Godzilla, usually the scientists and the military are
wrong. They're all wrong.
And the children are right. Yeah. I don't know. There aren't always children involved.
In Gamera, the children are right.
Yeah.
And these are monsters. So,
yeah.
He sort of classifies it as his own thing.
Yeah.
Monster.
Because I do think, and there are science fiction elements to it, but really it has the structure of a wrestling movie.
like the World Wide, what is that? The WWF?
Yeah. I don't know about the WWF, but yeah. wrestling films, of which I don't think in this country, at least, there are very many anymore, but certainly in Mexico and you know, the Luchador films, and in Japan, I think they have
a
fine tradition of wrestling films.
It is like wrestling. I mean, Godzilla does throw people down, not people down, throw the other monsters down, and they throw him down.
I think it almost
with
takes
his tiny little T-Rex arms.
I think it takes some elements of like a martial arts film structure, because all the characters have their special fighting style that characterizes them. Less than, because if you can't develop a silent monster character through his dialogue, you can have what other people say about that character. We don't really know what Godzilla thinks or feels. You only know his fighting style.
Ah,
and
Godzilla.
Who he's fighting for or against.
That's not true.
Sometimes
you can tell these.
You see Godzilla cry sometimes.
That's true.
You hear his little.
But
lines.
The other monsters, you mostly know what are they fighting,
right?
And what is their fighting style?
Although, frankly, like Mechagodzilla, there may have been some explanation. I'm really not up on these movies. But Space Godzilla, there's never any explanation. Space Godzilla comes out of, and like what's going on? No explanation.
Really,
nobody.
Mike Dent,
you're churning out one a year. You might need ideas.
Sure.
Back to the drawing board, gentlemen.
That's right. What have we not done? Space.
No, they've done space. They did space a lot, actually.
All right.
Space a lot.
So I guess, so we should wrap this up. So our questions are, is Godzilla sci-fi or not? And my question was, is Magical Princess Minky Momo more girly or less girly than Sailor Moon?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, is Avatar one of the finest or the finest
television
cartoon?
I'm not ready to say
cartoon.
The finest, but it's certainly, I don't
Darn
think,
good.
I find I it a hard position
great,
to debate. That it's,
I think we could call it the greatest, like, adventure genre American cartoon.
Well, I'll have to.
Because I think when it comes to primetime adult comedies, maybe not.
I don't know, man.
It's a big hero quest sort of thing.
Maybe, though.
Well, maybe, considering The Simpsons has sucked for
In terms of
12 years.
Ratio. Well, South Park also has very fine writing, but it's a primetime sitcom type cartoon.
I like
it's not an adventure.
Yeah,
cartoon.
I like South Park too. I haven't.
What other American adventure cartoons can you think of?
Oh man,
like He-Man or
Thundar the Barbarian. I don't know. There are a number. Pirates of Dark Water.
That was bad, though.
It was
right?
Not very good, and it was always the same episode with that stupid bell.
Or Johnny
every time
Quest.
I turned on
you watched a lot of Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest.
How does Avatar compare to Johnny Quest?
Okay,
Avatar's,
how does it hold up?
Oh, I gotta say, Johnny Quest.
Oh, you
might
are
be
really
Avatar.
You're nuts.
On
what basis?
On what basis? The music, way better music on Johnny Quest.
It was amazing music.
Got the little hero pal. Got the gadgets. Got Dr. Quest, always in a jam.
Yeah, what about Venture
Brothers?
Venture Brothers is the failure version of Johnny Quest. Everyone's a failure.
I don't know.
Johnny Quest was good.
It does have amazing music.
But Johnny Quest sort of, if I'm remembering it, sort of had a story arc going, but it wasn't really strong.
Yeah.
So Avatar has a purpose. Mm. So I'll give you that.
And I'm not prepared to come out with any degree of certainty on this issue until Avatar is concluded.
Okay.
Because it could always.
I'm telling you.
Start.
I called the couple.
Oh, man.
No, no. Okay, so here's something that Allison and Paul Starr can write in about. So on the interwebs, there are many Zuko Katara shippers. That means they see a relationship between Zuko and Katara that is not in the show, but they believe it could happen.
We're talking about fan fiction
fan
now.
Fiction,
fan fiction
writers. Communities, or possibly fan art. But for the most part, sane people tend to go with Katara and Aang, because Aang did
I believe
kiss
there is
Katara a couple episodes
much
ago.
Much more evidence.
Which is a giant spoiler if you've never seen the show.
Oh, but
kissing Schmitzing.
Aaron's mom is convinced for some reason that Zuko and Katara is the one true pairing.
So
Allison and Paul.
They're definitely going to have something going on there.
Eviscerate Aaron's
Whoa,
mom in the forums.
Oh, no.
You know, Allison would just laugh
at her. Fire, water.
I've heard this before.
I think there's big promise. I think they're going to have a whole little thing going on there for a while. No. Oh, yes.
No. A little menage a trois.
No, because Zuko needs to be with his sister's friend, who he was dating briefly.
Oh.
May,
yeah. They were made to be together.
I think there's going to be other stuff going on. Then the Avatar is going to be this whole higher...
Yeah, but they established in an episode you haven't seen that the Avatar can get married and has lots of times in his past lives. So that's totally within the realm of possibility.
He also refused, hello spoilers, but he also turned down the opportunity to reach total enlightenment because he couldn't
let
banish
go
the thought of Katara from his head.
Yeah,
that's but so, see, once he realizes the other thing is happening, even if he misinterprets that, then he'll take the enlightenment thing.
I think you're just onto this to bug Noah.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're trying to get on my skin, but really the only person you're bugging is Allison, because I don't care.
Allison.
She admits it's just a bug.
Yeah, that's fine. That's why most people do most things, I think.
All right, that's 40 minutes. That's enough. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. Sorry if the show isn't edited much. I think I'm just going to throw in the Johnny Quest in theme and a Naruto opening theme.
Yeah, Merry frickin' Christmas.
Well, bye.
Merry Christmas. Everyone.
God bless us, everyone.